Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
30 days of post-training, no architecture changes the same base model that shipped last month.
And they came out the other side with something they did not plan for.
They built a coding model. What emerged was a system that began reasoning across complete exploitation chains, and the engineers said so, not buried in a footnote. In the lead finding of the announcement, cyber capability developed faster than we expected.
GLM 5.3 from the Zhiyuan Lab. ZA. And Dudum at Tsinghua. Published August 14th.
This is not a paper, it is a model release, and it comes with a public ledger of 2,436 real-world vulnerabilities found by the model across 269 open-source projects. 2,383 of those are still under embargo right now. The oldest flaw in the dataset dates to 1981. The average vulnerability had been sitting in production code for 26.6 years before the model found it.
We are going to work through all of that. The numbers are not abstract, and the implications are not distant.
Chapter 1, 1 month. Same model.
Let's be precise about what changed. The base model is identical to GLM 5.2. Every gain in this release. Every single one is the product of post-training alone. No new architecture, no parameter scaling, more environments, more diverse tasks, and more compute applied to a training stack they already had.
That stack is worth naming because it is open source and because its existence matters for what comes later. Slime. Their post-training framework for reinforcement learning at scale, running Megatron on the training side and SGLang for rollout. The design puts training rollout and the data buffer on a single data flow, which means new environments slot in as data generation rather than requiring changes to the training loop. SAO, their reinforcement learning algorithm for long horizon tasks, with compaction that keeps gains from collapsing over extended trajectories. Index share, long context processing infrastructure.
All of it was designed for GLM 5.0. For GLM 5.0.3, they did not rebuild anything. They scaled on top of what they had.
And they extracted more from the stack itself through system-level workload-aware heuristics that derive prefill and decode configurations automatically from each rollout environment, multi-teacher setups with dynamic switching that avoids standing up a separate long-running inference service for each teacher, local storage as an additional caching layer for model states and data. They achieved 2.3 times better end-to-end reinforcement learning training throughput than they had before.
That is not a footnote. 2.3 times better throughput means they can run the same training over longer trajectories and more complex environments for roughly the same cost.
The efficiency gain is what makes the scaling practical. You cannot just decide to train on harder tasks. You need the infrastructure to absorb the compute cost of doing it.
And they built that infrastructure, published it, and then ran it until something unexpected emerged.
Chapter 2. What they were building toward.
The task environments matter here because they are not what you probably imagine when you hear coding benchmark. These are not competitive programming problems. They are not small isolated functions designed to test correctness. They are tasks designed around how engineering and research work is actually carried out at professional scale.
One example from the announcement. The model is placed inside a functioning machine learning infrastructure environment with access to compute clusters, storage systems, internal documentation, production codebases, and experiment results. Its assignment is to diagnose performance bottlenecks across the training stack, implement optimizations, run experiments, and deliver a measurable end-to-end throughput improvement while preserving correctness.
That is the scope of work a senior engineer would spend several days on.
Several of the environments are explicitly designed at that scale. The model is not being asked to write a function or fix a test case. It is being asked to take ownership of a substantial engineering problem from diagnosis through verification.
And because useful task environments have to be executable, verifiable, and realistic, and because you need thousands of them, not dozens, they built a pipeline to synthesize them at scale. Your research agents collect task patterns from real professional work and convert them into runnable long-horizon environments with multi-step dependencies and hidden state. A judge agent attempts each synthesized task to verify it is actually solvable. Verifiers are synthesized without access to the reference solution, while solver trajectories are used to discover and close reward shortcuts before training begins.
A verifier that passes Oracle checks, no-op checks, and unsolved state checks produces a binary reward signal reliable enough to train on directly. That is the bar they are clearing.
They are building a factory for training environments and using AI agents to run quality control on the factory floor.
The coding numbers from this approach are large on Terminal Bench 3.0. A harder version of the benchmark that did not exist when GLM 5.2 shipped. GLM 5.3 scores 28.3. GLM 5.2 scored 4.6 on DeepSui V1.1, 46.2 to 66.9. On Agent's last exam, 23.8 to 28.5.
The efficiency story is also notable. At maximum effort on their internal ZA code bench, GLM 5.3 reaches 34.5%, using roughly 75,000 output tokens per task. GLM 5.2 reached 23.4%, using 96,000. Better results with 22% fewer tokens.
The model they were trying to build is ahead of where they expected. What they did not expect is the column we have not talked about yet. Chapter 3, What Came Out, The Other Side.
Direct quote from the announcement. As we scaled post-training, cyber capability developed faster than we expected. GLM 5.3 did not simply become better at identifying isolated flaws. It began to reason across multiple stages of exploitation, forming coherent plans for complete exploitation chains.
That sentence is the engineers describing their own surprise. They introduced vulnerability discovery data and environments into the training mix. They expected improvement at finding and reasoning about vulnerabilities. The expectation was reasonable. What they did not anticipate was how far the capability extended up the exploitation chain and how quickly it arrived there.
The blog breaks this across three benchmarks, each measuring a different stage of the exploitation process. Start with CyberGym, the earliest stage. White box source code. Test whether the model can identify and validate vulnerabilities by triggering faults. GLM 5.3 scores 84.5%. GLM 5.2 scored 77.2. That is state-of-the-art on the benchmark. Ahead of Mythos 5 at 83.8 and GPT 5.6. Sol at 83.6.
CyberGym is the front of the chain. Move up.
Exploit Bench requires deeper reasoning about real vulnerabilities and what it actually takes to exploit them, not just finding a flaw. Reasoning about the complete exploitation, GLM 5.3 reaches 54.4%. GLM 5.2 was at 24.4.
It more than doubled in 1 month of post-training.
And further up still, Exploit Gym measures how many exploitation tasks a model can complete under time-normalized budgets, 2 hours and 6 hours. GLM 5.3 completes 105 tasks in 2 hours and 130 in 6. GLM 5.2 completed 29 and 39 respectively. That is a 3.6 times improvement on the 2 hour budget.
The pattern the blog names explicitly is the observation that matters. The further up the exploitation chain a benchmark sits, the further from simply identifying a vulnerability and the closer to completing a full exploitation sequence, the larger the gain from GLM 5.2.
Capability grew fastest at exactly the stage they were furthest behind.
Which is not what happens when you're doing targeted capability development. That is what emergence looks like in a benchmark table.
They trained for coding. Exploitation chain reasoning came out the other side.
And now it exists, and it is quantified, and they published the number. Chapter 4. The ledger is public.
They did not stop at benchmark scores. They took the model to real production code bases. Working with security teams in China, they ran GLM 5.3 against real software and put the output through expert review, screening, and deduplication. 2,436 vulnerabilities, 269 open source projects. The scope spans system kernels, operating systems, browser engines, open source infrastructure, web applications, and network protocols.
1,097 of those findings are critical or high severity. 2,383 are currently under embargo, meaning the model found them. The findings have been reported to affected projects, and they are waiting in the disclosure pipeline right now.
53 have been publicly disclosed.
The age distribution is what stops you. The oldest vulnerability in the dataset was introduced in 1981. The average vulnerability had lived 26.6 years in production code before anyone found it. 45 years of collective impact across the full dataset.
There are vulnerabilities in production software that GLM 5.3 has already reported, still under embargo right now, still being processed, that predate the commercial internet, that predate most of the programmers who wrote the layers of software running on top of them.
Doe built a public ledger to track all of this, the ZAI Security Disclosure Ledger at cvd.ai. It is continuously updated as findings move through the disclosure process. For each disclosed issue, it records the affected project severity, CVE, where assigned, and how long the vulnerability lived in the codebase before discovery.
That ledger is a choice. They did not have to publish it.
A lab that finds 2,436 vulnerabilities across 269 projects could hand that information to affected vendors privately and say nothing publicly about what their model can do. There is no shortage of reasons to do exactly that. Commercial sensitivity, competitive advantage, risk of scrutiny, the simple fact that announcing an emergent exploitation capability is not a comfortable headline.
They chose transparency over concealment on a capability that had significant downside to disclosing.
Name what that is. It is a lab deciding that the public record of what the model found and how long those vulnerabilities had been sitting undiscovered is more valuable than keeping the full scope of the capability off the record. That is an editorial choice under real pressure.
It is also, as a practical matter, the thing that makes the ledger defensible as a disclosure mechanism rather than a liability. You cannot run a responsible disclosure process in private and call it responsible disclosure.
And by making it public, they are also making the model's capability legible to exactly the people who most need to understand it. Security researchers, defenders, vendors of the affected software, and the research community that studies these systems. Chapter 5, the propagation problem.
Here's the structural reality that runs underneath all of this. The capability did not come from a new architecture. It did not require new parameters. It came from post-training alone. The same base model, more compute, better environments, longer training.
The recipe is not proprietary. The training framework, Slime, is open source on GitHub under Thudium right now. SEO is a published paper. IndexShare is a published paper. The system optimization, the workload-aware heuristics, the multi-teacher setups with dynamic switching, the joint scheduling improvements between router and training are all documented, and in 2 weeks the model weights themselves become publicly available following safety evaluation.
Which means any lab running aggressive long-horizon reinforcement learning on coding tasks is probably already producing some version of this capability. GLM 5.3 is not a unique event. It is the first precise measurement and public disclosure of a trajectory that is almost certainly running in parallel at other labs right now.
They also made one other change in this release worth noting. Thinking is now mandatory. There is no longer an option to disable the model's reasoning process. Three effort levels remain: low, high, and max. You can reduce thinking. You cannot eliminate it. The ability to call GLM-53 without any deliberation is gone.
That is not a formal safety mechanism.
It is not. It is an architectural commitment that the model should reason through its actions at some minimum level rather than operate without deliberation on the most demanding tasks. Against the backdrop of what we have just described, that commitment carries some weight, even if it does not carry much formal force.
So, where does this leave us? Because the question is not whether ZOI should have published this, or whether they should release open weights.
The question is, what the existence of this capability, and its demonstration that it emerges from post-training alone, from a stack that is already public, means for how we think about long-horizon reinforcement learning at scale across the industry.
Both sides of this argument are right. I want to say that directly, not as a hedge. Both sides of the dual-use argument here are genuinely correct.
The accelerationist argument says, this capability is propagating regardless. The base model is the same, the training stack is on GitHub, the recipe is documented in papers, the idea that one lab's restraint controls the trajectory of a capability this accessible is wishful thinking, given that transparency is the correct move, especially here, a public ledger, published benchmarks, open weights, because security researchers and defenders need to understand what is possible at least as urgently as any other actor does. The disclosure ledger is not just ethics theater. It is a practical instrument for the defense side of the equation.
And the other side
says this is precisely the scenario they spent years warning about. A system that more than doubles its exploitation capability in 1 month of post-training, multi-stage exploitation chain reasoning emerging as a side effect of coding work, 45 years of dormant vulnerabilities exposed at scale by a model that will be freely downloadable in 2 weeks. The concern was never that one lab would be reckless. The concern was that the capability would arrive faster and more broadly than the institutional frameworks designed to manage it.
And both of those are true simultaneously.
They are. The capability is propagating. The ledger is public. Open weights are coming. The only variable that remains is whether the emergence of this capability at every lab where it is occurring arrives with a public record of what was found and how long it had been sitting there. Or without one.
ZA chose the version with the ledger.
That does not resolve the tension, but it is at minimum evidence that someone took the dual-use problem seriously enough to make their work visible at a moment when concealment would have been the easier choice.
The recipe is out, the capability is propagating, and now we know to measure it.
This podcast is entirely AI-generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS, that's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.